Matthew 9, beginning in verse 35, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest."
Thank you, Pastor and musicians and Dean. You may be seated, except for Brother Smith. Okay, you come on up. They've been missionaries for 20 years in Argentina, and he gave a little bit of his history in Sunday school, and you can repeat that if you'd like. And we're glad to have a part in that ministry, and he's going to show us some of the things that the Lord's been doing.
The Lord certainly has blessed us in 20 years. I never believed 20 years ago that I'd still be here. One of the questions we ask many times, particularly by young people, is, how do you know the Lord's will? And you just do what God tells you to do today, and he'll tell you what to do tomorrow. And that's basically all there is to it. Just obey God today, and you'll be fine for tomorrow. What I'd like to do right now is show a short presentation of what your prayers have done in the last 20 years in Argentina. It's kind of hard. How many of you could sum up your last 20 years in a very short period of time? When we started as missionaries, they told us in Bible college, make it about a 15-minute presentation. And people won't tolerate more than 15 minutes. So we customed everything. A few years later, then they said, well, about 10 minutes. And now they tell me, by expert guys that study things, as well, people don't like steaks, they like McDonald's. So make it 5 minutes. Well, I've got a feeling next time we come home on furlough, I'll say, here's slide one, here's slide two, and that way it'll keep in line with what's going on with everybody. Who knows? But it's a short period of time. But 20 years was just a vapor anyway. So would you please? Thank you.
Hi, we are Charlie and Joanne Smith. God has given us the blessing of serving Him for 20 years in the country of Argentina. We are sent from Liberty Baptist Church in Casper, Wyoming. Before I explain the present ministry, let me tell you a little bit about Argentina, a country of 44 million souls, with 3 million living in the autonomous city of Buenos Aires. Argentina is in the southern hemisphere. Her borders are Uruguay and the Atlantic Ocean on the east, where whales come close to some of its shores. The Andes Mountains and Chile on the west are known for the condor, the llamas, and the snow skiing in the mountains in July. The northern border, Paraguay, Bolivia, Brazil, are known for the tropics, Iguazu, and the high mountain deserts. The southern tip contains Ushuaia, the southernmost city in the world, along with famous glaciers and her penguins. Iglesia Bautista Libertad is a mission-minded church and supports the Zacal family from the Philippines to Ushuaia. Then there is the capital of Argentina, Buenos Aires, full of people. Most of the 3 million souls who live in the capital do not even know that it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The city of Buenos Aires doubles in size during the work week, as many of those who work in the capital live in the suburbs. We were not always in the city of Buenos Aires. Our first 8 years, we were blessed to work along Pastor Scott Brackett and his wife Lori in the city of Morón, where God used us to start a Bible Institute, a hospital ministry, where the brackets continue leading souls to Christ. While in Rome, God used us to open up the doors for a printing ministry, using us to print more than 1 million tracts and discipleship materials throughout the years for Argentine pastors and missionaries. Several times during those 8 years, we needed to go to the capital for language studies and government paperwork. I asked other missionaries about information on Baptist churches in the downtown area of the capital and found out that there was not a Bible preaching church there. There was a Russian Orthodox Church, a Universal Church, a Roman Catholic, Anglican, and Jewish synagogues, but no Bible preaching church. So we started praying the prayer request of Jesus found in Matthew 9:37-38. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The Holy Spirit led, we followed, and leaving Iglesia Baptista Fe, we moved into the capital. We came to know Omar, who had been praying for 20 years for someone to start a church in the capital. Then he brought his brother Eduardo and his family. During the 12 years that we have been in the capital, God has brought to Iglesia Baptista Libertad people from many different countries and provinces. We've had the blessing of serving people from Cuba, Ecuador, Spain, Venezuela, the Ukraine, Finland, and Peru, as well as some seminary students from Mexico and students from the States who spend their summers trying to lead Jews to the Messiah. The university students from Brazil, the Dominican Republic, and Haiti are just a few from the 3 universities close to us. Jonathan and Evelyn with their daughter are from northern Argentina. Leonardo, who is studying to be a lawyer, is actually a Porteño. A Porteño is someone who was born in the capital. The Martinez family have joined Iglesia Baptista Libertad. I met Facundo and Eli when they were students at the Bible Seminary in his hometown of Rosario. When they finished the seminary, their pastor asked me if we would consider Facundo and Eli coming to work with us. After 2 years of praying for God's direction, the Martinez family joined us in September, and their son Andres was born in November. Brother Facundo is on staff as pastor in training, 2 Timothy 2:2, and doing a good job filling the pulpit while we're on furlough. We ask you to please pray for them. Argentina is about 1/4 the size of the United States. But did you know that in your state there are a lot more independent Baptist churches than all of Argentina? Out of 197 largest cities, 159 are without a Bible preaching church. There are 15 cities that have more than 100,000 souls without a church that preaches salvation through Christ. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:37-38. Thank you.
Just wondering if you might have a question or two. Remember, this is time where I'm coming back reporting to you and I'm accountable to you. So is there any questions that we can answer or attempt to answer anyway? Yes, ma'am.
When do you expect to go back?
December, Lord willing. Get time for nice 90-some-odd degree weather with about 100% humidity. Try wearing a sport coat those days. One of the blessings is our church got an air conditioner this year. Yes, ma'am. Do you have a question? Sí, somos habla español todo el tiempo. Es un idioma muy lindo. You're doing good. Keep on practicing. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am. Yes and no. Our home consisted of a space smaller than this platform, and the church situated was would like what you saw would have about 30 some odd people. We were scheduled to come out in April, and in the last part of February, the landlady told us that she was selling the place, so we had 1 month to find a place or 1 month to cancel all the meetings and lose our and cancel a flight. And the Lord provided, after doing an awful lot of exercising, walking up and down the streets looking for any people, places for sale or rent, miraculously opened up to where we could move just above where we were at the time. And it gave us a bigger place. Facundo and Ellie are still living there in that place, but the auditorium has room for about 50 people if you squeeze them in, 40 comfortably. So he blessed, and it was less money?
About the same.
About the same area. So the Lord really, really blessed us greatly. Plus, one of the benefits is that there's a thing called expenses, is which you pay for the upkeep of the building, like a condominium. And that keeps on increasing as inflation increases. And this particular contract, we have that written in so that the landlord pays it and we don't have to pay it this time. So, you know, end up cheaper in the long run. So the Lord blessed us greatly. Yes, sir. I knew Dorothy. I didn't know. I never met her. I talked to her on the phone. A fantastic missionary. It's the example. That's one missionary family that we would learn a lot if they wrote down their lives in the book. They're very family. Both of them are praising God in heaven. And the three churches, or there four. I know of three particular churches that Lord used them to establish are still going strong. Any others? Would you please turn to your Bible then, to Matthew, please, chapter 9. In this passage of Scripture, the emphasis is on the Lord's prayer request. And it's surprising, when I came back to this particular part, on our greatest meeting throughout the week in Argentina is not the main meeting like we have right now, and our services have been over for about 2 hours. It's not the meeting you have tonight. Our greatest meeting in Argentina is on Thursday nights, where we have the least amount of people, because that's when the work of the Lord gets done. And it's done on knees of people who are praying hard and fervently. The same in this church. The greatest meeting you have is not this one, won't be, wasn't Sunday school, but it's on Tuesdays, where you have a group of people who are fervently praying, and that's why Emmanuel Baptist exists, to be honest with you, and blunt. So if you're not coming Tuesday nights, and you can come, you're missing a great blessing. You're missing the banana split that was prepared the way your grandma used to make it when she was a kid. And it's a whole lot nicer than what the poor kids get today. Before we go any further, let's do one thing that we need to do more than anything else, and pray. Dear precious Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to even open up your word and look upon it. It's so holy, and yet you want us to have an intimate knowledge and memorize it and put it in practice in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for giving us such a treasure your word in written form so we can understand it, read it, and glean from it. Father, I come to before you. You know what I am and what I'm not. And you know, Father, that I cannot present your word the way it adequately needs to be done. Nor, Father, do I have the capacity to change lives. So, Father, I pray that you would take these lips and use them the way that you want them to be used, to say only the words that you want to be said. And, Father, that the Holy Spirit would penetrate into each one of our hearts and convict us, Lord, of where we're falling short and encourage us where we're doing right. Lead and guide, Father. And, Lord, if you be so kind, give me the liberty to preach like you give me back home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God's precious word. I've got to get used to this pulpit, where to put my glasses. I've got transitional glasses, and I'm trying to figure out where to put them so I can read it. Just get it out here to where I can go. In verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went into all the cities and the villages, teaching their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." In this particular verse, we have where Jesus is laboring. He's going to all the cities and all the villages. He just didn't go to Cheyenne and to Casper. And he came to places like Pinedale, not only Pinedale, but other places that have, you know, like Wyoming's noted for. You drive through in population of 5. He went through all the different places. It wasn't just the big cities and stuff like that. He took care of all. And it says he went into the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of God and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Wouldn't it be fantastic, teenager, you're going by and you see Jesus and you've got this zit and boom, it's gone. It says every sickness and illness. Doesn't matter if you had cancer, a hangnail, everything. Where he preached and he taught, every sickness, every illness was gone. What a fantastic blessing that people were having, just the miracles that were going on at that particular time. And it says, among the people. And then you get to verse 36, and there was a word there, a real big word, B-U-T. Now, Pastor Pitchford would identify with this, but I don't know if any of y'all ever had. I used to have a horse by the name of Black. Black was a fantastic horse. It was short, just about right, so I didn't have to use too much effort to get onto it. But Black always wanted to lay back, but he always wanted to be with the people too. He was lazy, goofing off. Then he noticed all the other horses up there, and boom. Always was wrestling with him. And I was working for a ranch at that time, and I said, "How come I always get Black?" He says, "He's ornery. He bites. He kicks. He likes to step on my foot. He does everything, and I get stuck with him, and he doesn't always have to fight with him." And with him, you had to think, the word "but" comes to mind. You had to get his attention first. After you got his attention, it's fine. You just take one rein in one hand, one rein in the other hand, and you start saying which one's going to come back and forth. And use his head like a wash machine. Pow, 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 pow. And all at once, then he'll go along for a while. No problem after that. You have to get his attention. And that's what the word "but" here means. Pay attention. Jesus says, it's just like you're pulling the reins all the way back as fast as you can, hard as you can. He says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, was moved with compassion. Yesterday, when we came into town, there was something going on in the park. I don't know what was, but there was multitudes out in the park. I didn't see them. I observed them. But I didn't see them. This. Have you ever done that? To where you look at people and you don't actually see them? You just, yep, they're there, go by. At the grocery store. What was the name of the person that waited on you? Cashier. What's the problem with her mother? Did you actually see you? The person at the gas station, we bought the gas from, you had to go inside and you got your coffee in the morning, you know, so you go and you pay the money. Did you see them? Or you just go on? Jesus sees the intimate details of that person's life. In Argentina, one of the saddest things that we have seen through the 20 years is when we got there, the sad thing was to see the older folks. They look like an elk or a deer after you put that shot through the heart. And you just saw that animal laying on the ground without life in it. No hope. It's sad because now you see adolescents, 12, 13, 14, with the same hollowed eyes. No hope. Do you see the people? When you talk to people, are you actually seeing them, or are you just so busy? When you see the people, it has the same reaction that happened to Jesus Christ. You move with compassion. You got to tell them about Jesus Christ. You've got to do something. You just don't observe and walk away. Yesterday we had a blessing of having a tire go out on us on the way. And there was a gentleman that saw, and he came by and he helped. And I was glad for it because there's things there that I'm not supposed to do anymore because I had Lord wanted to redesign my heart a few years back, and I can't lift the weights like I want to. Tires are quite a bit of weight, more weight than what I'm supposed to lift with my hands, and it makes me quite humble and sad that I can't do the thing. But Jesus, when he saw, he was moved with compassion on them. And then it gets at the reason. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Wyoming is known for more for cows than they are for sheep. Up in Montana, they have huge, especially around Helena, huge sheep farms. One day I was working in the hospital in the Helena, filling in for some people there, and I know I was working there as job, and I in front of the nurse's station I had a patient that I've never had, and the door was shut, and I walked in that door, and I was as I shut the door behind me because I grew up on a farm, and if the gate's shut, you shut the gate, and you walk through, you shut the gate behind you, so it's just normal. I shut the gate door behind me, and I stepped in there, and then I stepped out, and I shut the door behind me, and I was crying, and my eyes were burning. I walked across the hall to the nurse, and I said, "Did you guys give that guy a bath by chance?" He says, "Charlie, we've given him 3, and he still smells like sheep dip." So I had a job to do, so I went back in and I said, might as well get my face and my everything else hurting from going in. And I started talking to this guy and got over the initial smell to where I could talk to him. He was a bosk that was a shepherd that for the last about 30, 40 years, had been tending over 1,000 sheep outside of Helena. He was, the whole time I was in that room, and the other times when I followed up, I'd go in that room and he would be crying. You know why he's crying? His sheep were up in the fields without a shepherd. He had over 1,000 sheep, and he was crying for them all. Didn't matter if it was the tiniest lamb or the one. He was crying because they didn't have a shepherd. What happens when sheep don't have a shepherd? One thing, they start strifing between one another. Another thing is they just go their different directions, not paying attention where they go, until the wolf or the mountain lion or even a coyote says thank you. And they have a nice meal on them. The other thing about sheep is they like to bicker. Now you know when I heard Pastor Pitchford was retiring, why I started praying hard for you guys. Because those things will happen in a church when they don't have a shepherd. Jesus Christ was moved with compassion because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And that comes upon that's the problem, is the sheep. And then we come upon the solution in verse 37. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, and the laborers are few. Right out of the blue, he picks this statement, he comes up on it. The harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. When I was a teenager, I played in band because I was 4'4". I loved basketball. But 4 foot, and my brothers are up to 6'8". Have you ever played basketball against giants? I have broken fingers because of attempting to do a layup. And I found out that I could do I can dribble with both hands just as easy, and I can now I just dribble when I drink, but dribble with my both hands just as easy. And I found out if I got out by the foul line and did and since they were right-handed, and I did a left-handed hook shot, they couldn't stop it. So I started practicing an awful lot and made 9 out of 10 hook shots. I'm trying to figure out where I lost my train of thought. Oh, anyway, I could do that. But I was in the band, and as a marching band, we had about 100 people in our band. And every single football game, every single basketball game, every other type of game, where was I? I sit in the stadiums. Johnny and Mike and Bill and all the other guys that, you know, that I really enjoyed being around, they were down there on the field. And I didn't get to, I never got to go out on the football field. I never was good enough to play varsity basketball. I was always in the stadiums. Jesus telling us right there, the laborers, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He's saying, it's time to get out of the stadium and onto the field. It's time to stop being a bump on a log and get to cutting the log. He says, the laborers are few, but the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The first item that we have a command from God to pray, and it's the only command that I can find in the Bible where God has it directly to us for what to pray. It says, pray the Lord of the harvest. That's our responsibility. Lord, send forth laborers. into your fields. You all support an awful lot of missionaries, but with every one of these, how much prayer goes behind it? In Vijay to say, there's a little old lady about this big, and she's about that tall, because I've never seen her out of that wheelchair. Jose Maria, she's about 70, maybe 80 years of age. On Sunday, this morning, when Invisia to say, she would have rose her hand and asked the pastor one question. Same question, week after week, month after month, year after year. Pastor, anybody get saved using the tracks yesterday at visitation? Same question. Her ministry is she folds tracks and prays for each track. Pray ye there, the Lord of the harvest. She can't get out of that wheelchair except to go to bed. And yet, she has one of the greatest ministries around. And we've never seen, we print over a million tracks, and we've not seen any other church that has such a large amount of people coming to the Lord, know the Lord through the tracks. Amount of people that's come. And why? Jose Maria. She's praying to the Lord of the harvest that He'd send forth laborers into her harvest. Into His harvest. When you see the people, instead of just observe them, and you start praying for God to send laborers into the harvest. Can you imagine a country that has less Baptist churches than Wyoming? When we were on deputation 25 years ago, we could not go. We went to every single church we could find in Wyoming. And if all the churches in Wyoming supported us at $100 a month, that would not have been enough to get us there. And now there's more churches. I would praise God if one-third the churches in Wyoming supported us. We'd have that amount of money. It would be fantastic. It's amazing what God has done. But we have over 15 cities that have 100,000 people without one gospel witness. And Pinedale has two churches. How many? Seven? Soul-winning churches? You know, I didn't even take a liberal soul-winning church in Argentina, in downtown. When God says, the harvest is truly plenteous, and the laborers are few. Why? Because God isn't providing the laborers? You answer that question when pastor gives you the church work day. How many members come here for church work day? According to how many members are on the rolls there. You're going to get 100% pastor out here on a church work day? Or a church visitation day? Pastor Pritchford's back there with a big old grin on his face. I'd like to, you say, it'd be a miracle to see that, wouldn't it, brother? In the same way, any organ, business 101, they teach you that if you got 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And it's no different in a local church. They're about 20%. Or maybe this church is different. I don't know. Hopefully there is. But the harvest is plenteous. It's out there. You just have to go work in it. Let me put this in that way. How many of you cook by wood or heat by wood? Have you ever found a lack of trees to cut, standing dead to cut? Then how come you don't have 15 cords standing in your driveway right now? I know the reason. Same reason, if I lived here, I wouldn't have 15 cords in my driveway. I want to use my time for other things besides cutting wood. How about souls? Are there souls in Pinedale that need Jesus Christ, the Savior? How many people have you talked to in the time that you've lived here that you've never told them one time that you even attend Emmanuel Baptist Church? And even make it worse, how many of those have you ever just given a simple gospel tract to? He said, I care about you. Even worse than that, making a nice thing of cookies and taking it to him and says, I really care for you. Or something else that you know that they need. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And then Jesus is praising the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. I know for sure that if you start praying for the Lord, why does Jesus do this? Jesus using psychiatry that he put into our brain. If you pray for something and you have the ability to fulfill it, you'll do it. One of the blessings I get, I think it's about every month, is a letter from Red Cliff Bible Camp. In the back, I like it for them to do it, but I can't do it. I just because God won't let me do it. In the last part of their letters, every single month, they ask you to pray for different items, and they tell you how much a brick costs or how much a nail costs, and they break it down real nice and simple. And how much different things to cost. And he asks you to pray about it, or if you can, supply it. And that's fantastic. But as you pray, as I'm praying for it, you know, I'm trying to say, Lord, would you give me permission to do something about it? And Brother Dean, throughout the years, Lord has never given me permission, but I sure do keep on praying for those that do have it to go that way. Especially if I had the funds, I'd give them 10 snowmobiles right off the bat. And as far as I can remember, I'm still praying for a Suburban. That was the first thing that entered the brain years ago before when he was coming to Northland to talk to a volleyball teacher. He needed a Suburban. And I'm still praying for that Suburban. You know, throughout the years, he's needed different ones. He still needs another Suburban. And Sister Lori has a house, a cabin, just as you enter into Red Cliff, that if I had the funds, I'd buy it and give it to her. Because she stops her car and prays over that little house. The harvest is true. But what are you praying for? Pray for you, Lord of the harvest. What's the type of laborers are you praying for? What kind of laborers does the Lord want? 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. I'll let you know what kind of laborers behind this pulpit. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things in the world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of the world which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring upon the things that are, and the flesh should not glory in his presence. What type of labors? The foolish ones, the weak ones, the base ones. And that's what, if you look upon most servants of God, that's all we are. Lord, would you please send someone to the city of Buenos Aires? Please, God. Okay, Charlie, I want you to go. God, I'm a country boy. I like the smell of trees. I like to hear the birds. I like the fresh air. I like the simple life of the people that's in the villages, in the towns. Morón is big, Father. It's 300,000 people. And you want me to go into the city? Lord, send somebody, please. Charlie, you go. But God, who am I? I'm God. So why aren't you going? Those were the battles that were going on in my brain for over 2 years when I was in the woodshed. God, please don't send me there. Battle that took 2 years to where God took us there, and then after we got there up to this point, I'm saying, God, please forgive me for not going sooner. And I don't know how God uses this plain country pumpkin to talk to people that are way above my education level, way above my cultural level, and others that with us. If you could have seen just Omar's face the day that he found out that there was a church in Buenos Aires. The pastor that he was going to, traveling an hour and a half by bicycle, going to this church, and said, you know, there's a church downtown now? He said, what? And he came and he was there, and he said, I've been praying 20 years. 20 years I've been riding that bicycle, an hour and a half for Sunday morning. They start their services at 6 o'clock in this particular church, very seldom finishes their church service until about 11 o'clock or midnight. It's just one continuous different services that they have. And then he'd ride that bicycle back into the city. Hour and a half. Wednesday night, back out there. Get back late. Praying, God, please send somebody. How many people you have in Pinedale? I said, please, God, I don't have the answer to this. Would you send somebody? God says, pray you there, the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers. Every missionary you support, and this work here, needs laborers more than anything else in the world. I'm not standing here saying that I'm doing a great job. But I'm not in the stadium watching the jocks play on the field anymore. And God doesn't want you there either. There is a stadium. It's mentioned in Hebrews, that great cloud of witnesses. The time to be in the stadium is when we're with the Lord Jesus Christ and the people that are up there, Noah Smith and other men that up there, the tailors and other people that have gone before us up there. They're telling you right now, you can do it, go for it.
My grandparents, my other relatives that I have that came to know Jesus Christ and that are there, they're saying, please go. Keep on going, just like yours. But right now, it's time for us to get off our duffs and actually do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. What would it be like if you took the time to find that one soul here in Pinedale and you led that person to Christ, and then you took the time to teach that person how to grow in Christ and kept on going until that person went and found someone else to grow in Christ? With this auditorium right now, if each and every one of you just led one person in Jesus Christ this year and discipled that person, less than 5 years, Pinedale would have every single person at least a witness to, if not known, come to know Jesus Christ. That's how fast it would be duplicated. And that's the Lord's plan. But the problem is that we get too busy and we go to the grocery store and we buy things and we talk to the person, we chat, and then we leave. And then when we get to the car, we say, I didn't even turn the conversation over to the theme of themes to talk about the one that that loved me enough to give himself for me. How many grandmothers we have here? I want you to go a whole day without talking about your grandkids. Can you do it? How about him that gave his life for you so that you can be reconciled unto God? Doesn't seem right, huh? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Does include Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your care. Lord, none of us are worthy. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for the conviction that we need to be doing more. The world's going so fast away from you. Please help us do our part to tell others about Jesus Christ, so at least they'd have an chance, Lord, a one opportunity, or maybe more, to come to know Christ. Press upon our brains and our hearts, Lord, a particular person at this time that needs Christ, and burden us so hard, Father, that we would not sleep well until that person comes to know Christ. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask a couple of simple questions. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Say, yes, I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Now I need to ask the opposite question. Is there someone here that says, Pastor Charlie, I really don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you just pray for me? And I'll do that. There, so would you please raise your hand? Thank you, sir. I'll pray for you. You need to talk to Pastor. Now I ask you the hard question. And I don't want to raise a hand. I want you to talk to the Holy Spirit about it. Can you actually say at this moment that you're a real Christian? One that's doing what God wants you to do? Witnessing the way you're supposed to witness. And if you can't raise your hand and saying, yes, I'm serving God to my full potential, then I think it's time for an altar call. Pastor?